Yates drops back. Wants Hopkins and DeAndre with the catch. Touchdown! Yates to Hopkins. You cannot write this.
Never gets old watching that catch. DeAndre Hopkins with some heroics again on Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. Welcome back into the show. Texans extra points with Sean Pendergast and Aaron Wilson. Guys, what are we witnessing with DeAndre Hopkins? How good is he? How good will he be?
The emergence of DeAndre, where he's a legitimate Pro Bowl wide receiver, that changes the equation a little bit. That's one of their big saving graces of this offense. Without him, without that kind of playmaker, it's kind of scary to think where they would be. Then maybe they are in that 2-14 kind of category. Now with him, they're a contender because he makes circus catches. The guy makes one-handed, left-handed catches. He can trap football against his helmet. He can do that with either hand. He's ambidextrous about that. And yeah, I think that DeAndre is a special player. Is he the fastest? No. Is he the biggest? No. He makes those plays, though. He's got field speed and just that extra dimension that you want that makes him a dynamic wide receiver. And I think it's just imagine him out of the lineup to not have him. And
Let's not do that.
I think he's going to play. He has missed a couple practices this week, but he should be okay to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a cat in a lot of ways, the way he can contort his body and stay in bounds and hold on to the football.
He's their only playmaker right now on offense. Yeah. He really is. So, to Aaron's point, if there's an issue with DeAndre Hopkins, there's going to be a major – there's already major issues with the offense. I mean, you may be going into the game this weekend with T.J. Yates and Alfred Blue as your backfield. You know, like, who saw that at the beginning of the year? So, he's been amazing, DeAndre. You know, there's only a handful of wide receivers in the league at this point that I would swap him for. And statistically, he's doing things that Andre Johnson didn't do this early in his career. And I think there are things, and I know Andre Johnson's a future Hall of Famer, I think there are parts of DeAndre's game that are even better than Andre Johnson. Just DeAndre's ability to go up in traffic and know that he's going to be the one coming down with the ball is elite.
Yeah. And he's been able to score more than Andre Johnson has.
Yeah. I mean,
he's on pace to have double-digit touchdown, and I know you love the on-pace guy, but double-digit touchdowns.
Halfway through the season, on-pace guy is okay.
Right.
It's after one game.
He's got seven already. If he has 10 or more, I mean, Andre Johnson had 9 in his best season.
Look at the quarterback situation he's doing it with, right? I mean, this revolving door of quarterbacks that we just got done talking about in the previous segment, it's truly remarkable.
It really is. Well, you brought up a good point. I want you to talk about it. How do you gig this offense into maybe scoring more points and getting more production than 10 points, which worked against the Bengals, but you need to score more than that if you want to win consistently.
Trickery only takes you so far. Yeah. I mean, you can maybe try a flea flicker, you try something creative every now and then, but that's only going to get you one score if it does. And when I look at the offense, they can't run wide the way they are. The running backs need to understand their limitations and run just where the holes are. Xavier Suofilo gave them a little spark, I thought, at left guard this past game. The backs need to follow those blocks. They need to get up the field in a hurry and just kind of accept the fact that, they're not going to be gigantic holes with this offensive line. It just hasn't been there all year, and it doesn't seem like it's going to start happening now. The only time they did it was against Tampa Bay, against a very small front seven. So, yeah, I think that they've got to build a running game, and if they have to be stubborn with it and literally run the 21 dive play up the middle, do that a little bit just to keep people honest. Otherwise, the play action is going to go away.
You know what else is honest is Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard. And we're going to get into the New York Jets quarterback and more about the New York Jets after this quick break. But before we do, John Harris has our fantasy update.
What's up, everybody? It's fantasy football time. Whether you're playing FanDuel or you're in your league and you're approaching the playoffs, I'm going to hopefully give you 3 value plays. Some guys that we haven't talked about this year that I think might be good pickups for you, whether it's a waiver wire or on FanDuel. I'm going to start with Jarvis Landry taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are sinking a little bit, have been real great on defense. I love Jarvis Landry, and obviously the Texans saw what he can do. This guy gets out in open space, and he can make things happen. At $7,200, that's pretty good value. He's become the go-to guy for Ryan Tannehill down in Miami. That's a good one. Let's go to Randall Cobb. Now, Randall's been pretty expensive throughout the year, but at $7,100, I know he's cheaper than he's ever been, and I know the Packers have struggled, but that's okay. It's Minnesota. Minnesota's been very good, and it's on the road. But if Aaron Rodgers is going to get back on track, Randall Cobb is going to be his guy. And the third one's a tight end, Brent Celek. Looks like the Sanchez is taking over in Philadelphia, and he's going to need outlets. And the tight end is always an outlet for Mark Sanchez. So we're going to go with him at $5,300 against Tampa Bay and hope you get some sneaky hot play from a tight end, Brent Celek. Those are your 3 value plays this week. You're on Play Against Me and Others, HoustonTexans.com/FantasyFacts. We'll be right back after this.